Breaking news tonight, NBC News has learned disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein will surrender to authorities in New York, expected to be charged in connection with sexual misconduct allegations against him. And also tonight, Gwyneth Paltrow details for the first time a confrontation between Weinstein and her then-boyfriend, Brad Pitt.
He said, if you ever make her feel uncomfortable again, I'll kill you, or something like that.
We take you inside the collapse of President Trump's planned summit with Kim Jong-un, why it was canceled, and what now for those nuclear weapons. A big tropical threat, what could become Alberto, the first named storm of the season barreling towards the U.S. and putting millions on alert this holiday weekend. A soaring number of pedestrians struck and killed by SUVs, why it's happening and what one city is doing to sound the alarm. And the family taking a love of Star Wars to a whole new level. Who needs the movies when you've got your own Millennium Falcon at home?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for being with us. NBC News has learned that Harvey Weinstein, the disgraced movie mogul whose alleged sexual behavior made him the ground zero of the Me Too movement, is expected to turn himself into New York City police tomorrow. Weinstein is expected to face criminal charges related to sexual abuse. While not the first powerful man to face ugly allegations, the list of Weinstein's accusers is long and includes some familiar names and accusations that range from harassment to rape, forcing a painful reckoning across the country. Our Rahima Ellis has details.
Tonight, fallen Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein expected to face charges stemming from multiple allegations of sexual abuse, according to a source familiar with the case. This after authorities today wouldn't reveal how many cases are involved.
It's more than one. We have several complaints, and it's actively being investigated.
Reports say the charges are in connection with at least one accuser, actress Lucia Evans, who told The New Yorker Weinstein sexually assaulted her in 2004. Weinstein, who is expected to turn himself into authorities, denies all claims of non-consensual sex.
There are a number of potential crimes that Harvey Weinstein may be investigated for. One of these is criminal sexual conduct in the first degree. That's oral sex by forcible compulsion without consent.
Oscar winner Gwyneth Paltrow is one of many women Weinstein helped catapult into stardom.
The river divides us. And I must marry Wessex a week from Saturday.
But now in a radio interview, Paltrow explains the stunning accusation she made last year in a New York Times article alleging Weinstein sexually harassed her.
And you were alone in a room with him,
too. I was alone in a room with him.
Did you have any vibe leading up to that he might be dangerous?
Definitely not.
He just comes out of the blue with it.
It was out of the blue.
Paltrow claims it was one instance in a hotel room where Weinstein made a pass at her.
And then all of a sudden, let's go take a massage.
Yeah.
That's the move.
That was the move.
Paltrow says she rejected Weinstein's advances and that later her then-boyfriend Brad Pitt had words with Weinstein.
He said, if you ever make her feel uncomfortable again, I'll kill you, or something like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
And Lester, this week news also came that a special grand jury in New York is looking into charges against Weinstein, once one of the most powerful men in Hollywood.
All right, Rahima Ellis, thank you. Tonight, we are learning late new details about what led up to the collapse of that planned summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The president's sudden cancellation catching even our own allies off guard and leaving a lot of lingering questions about what happens now. Kristen Welker is on duty at the White House tonight. Kristen, it's a pretty stunning turn.
It is. And Lester, the president made the announcement in a letter directly to Kim Jong-un. Aides say one reason, he was worried North Korea would pull the plug first. But late tonight, North Korea's state media saying the world wants this summit and they're willing to resolve any issues.
The historic summit with Kim Jong-un had been on shaky ground. Today, that ground gave way.
I believe that this is a tremendous setback for North Korea and indeed a setback for the world.
A senior administration official says the president made the decision to cancel the summit after North Korean statements overnight, threatening the U.S. with a nuclear-to-nuclear showdown and referring to Vice President Pence as a political dummy. The president dictating a three-paragraph response to the North Korean dictator, blasting Kim's tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement.
Hopefully, positive things will be taking place with respect to the future of North Korea. But if they don't, we are more ready than we have ever been before.
A senior administration official calling North Korea's actions a trail of broken promises, including last week standing up U.S. diplomats who were prepping for the summit.
We had received no response to our inquiries from them.
And Kim backtracking on vows to discuss denuclearization made during historic meetings with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and with South Korea's president at the DMZ. And today claiming it destroyed a nuclear test site, but refusing to let inspectors verify that. In recent days, Mr. Trump signaling the summit was in jeopardy.
Well, there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay.
The cancellation comes after three American detainees had been released, even discussion of a Nobel Prize.
Nobel. I just want to get the job done.
But today, the president still leaving the door open, writing to Kim, if you change your mind, please do not hesitate to call me or write. A diplomatic drama waiting for its next act. Kristen Welker, NBC News, The White House.
This is Andrea Mitchell. After the president's bombshell announcement, what now? Tonight, U.S. allies scrambling. The Secretary of State pressed, why no warning to them?
And did we advise them that this was coming?
President Trump has said repeatedly, he is very hopeful it would proceed, but...
Sure. No, I understand
that. But it might not.
But that's a very different situation than saying, this letter is coming tomorrow.
The biggest loser, South Korea's President Moon. Blindsided, holding a national security meeting at midnight. Only 2 days ago, in the Oval Office with President Trump. The biggest winner, China, which Kim Jong-un visited for the second time 2 weeks ago. Did China sabotage this summit?
I think things changed after that meeting, so I can't say that I'm happy about it.
Why would China break up the summit?
They feel a break in the relationship between themselves and North Korea if this summit goes forward without Chinese participation.
The possibilities now, a new summit, including China and South Korea. Or will the president and Kim Jong-un resume trading threats?
We don't need to hear about Little Rocket Man or Fire and Fury.
Tonight, the Pentagon says it is ready for any military challenge from North Korea, even as the president's announcement sets off diplomatic shockwaves around the world. While the U.S. says it is still willing to meet under the right conditions. Lester.
Andrea Mitchell tonight in Washington. Thank you. NOAA has released its forecast for the 2018 hurricane season, and it's expected to be an active one with up to 16 named storms and as many as 9 hurricanes. This after 3 major hurricanes, Harvey, Irma, and Maria, devastated Houston, Florida, and Puerto Rico back-to-back last year. NOAA says there is a 75% chance this season, which officially begins about a week from now, will be near or above normal. And as we speak, there is a tropical threat that could spell big trouble for millions of Americans' Memorial Day weekend plans. NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer is tracking that for us.
Good evening, Lester. We are already keeping a close eye on the tropics. There's a disturbance down near the Yucatan Peninsula, and it's going to move into the eastern Gulf of Mexico heading into this Memorial Day weekend. The exact track is still yet to be determined, but Friday and Saturday, heavy rain overspreads Florida and the Gulf Coast, then moves up into the southeast as we go into Sunday and Monday. We could see as much as 3 to up to 6 inches of rain at least out of the system. That could lead to some brief flash flooding. Rip currents will also be an issue down along the Gulf Coast. Some of this moisture tries to move into the northeast by Memorial Day, making it unsettled with scattered showers and storms. The middle of the country looks sunny and hot with highs well up into the 90s, and the northern plains, that area looks to be unsettled as well. So there is certainly a lot to keep an eye on this holiday weekend. Lester.
All right, Dylan Dreyer. In Hawaii, there is growing concern tonight over narrowing options for mass evacuations exactly 3 weeks after eruptions began at Kilauea. The National Guard says there may soon be one evacuation route left for those who so far have refused to leave as dangerous amounts of lava and gas continue to spew. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer remains on the Big Island watching it all for us.
Tonight, a new eruption as catapulting fireballs and tidal waves of lava roll over roads, highways, and homes. The National Guard fears those who've stayed behind will soon be trapped. Only one evacuation route is left for 1,000 people.
How dangerous can this situation get for those who refuse to leave?
Deadly.
From 440 miles up, even NASA can see Kilauea's fury. On the ground, methane is seeping from the earth. But despite the explosive threat, many refuse to leave.
Where do I go? I'm 77 years old. I want to stay right here.
This was paradise for the Parr family, who moved here 2 weeks before the eruptions began.
The whole entire property is under lava now, so that was kind of heartbreaking for us.
Showing no mercy, tonight Kilauea is on the move, perhaps angrier than ever.
This is what so many neighborhoods look like tonight, a sea of lava that is now hardened. While it looks like a moonscape, it certainly sounds like a war zone. We can hear those explosions in the distance. And Lester, tonight we've moved away from one of those active fissures so we can be closer to a paved road in the event the National Guard orders those emergency evacuations. Lester?
All right, Miguel Almaguer, thank you. Now to the extraordinary power play by President Trump today, appearing to reach inside the investigation into himself, with White House officials joining the starts of two briefings that concern classified information about the Russia probe. NBC News Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson has the story.
Today, black SUVs delivering two sets of lawmakers to two meetings with two perspectives on the secret material they looked at. That material involves an FBI informant who spoke with three members of the Trump campaign in 2016, part of a broader investigation into Russia's election interference. The president has suggested, without evidence, it was a political play to hurt his campaign.
The reason the Republicans have pressed for this meeting is in the hope that something can be discovered that will bolster the president's case, unjustified, I believe, that somehow his campaign was being spied upon.
We now call it Spygate.
The president's own top advisors appeared today, creating controversy. Chief of Staff John Kelly and White House lawyer Emmett Flood both spotted.
That has critics now questioning whether the Justice Department is sharing information about an investigation with people tied to that very investigation. But the White House says Kelly and Flood only introduced the start of the meeting and did not stay for the rest.
Why is Emmett Flood here for this briefing?
The presence of Emmett Flood at this meeting, no matter how brief it was, complicates things here in terms of where this intelligence may end up.
The unprecedented dueling debriefs at first only included a single session with just Republicans.
This is not the way our system works.
I think the Democrats should have the exact same briefing as well.
Backlash sent the administration scrambling to include the other side of the aisle, trying to avoid accusations they're politicizing intelligence.
Nothing we heard today has changed our view that there is no evidence to support any allegation that the FBI or any intelligence agency placed a spy in the Trump campaign.
Hallie Jackson, NBC News, the White House.
Also at the White House today, an American war hero received the nation's top military award. President Trump gave the Medal of Honor to retired Navy SEAL Britt Slabinski, who led a rescue mission to the top of a snow-covered 10,000-foot mountain in Afghanistan in 2002 after his team's chopper crash-landed. Seven Americans died in that mission. Today, Slabinski dedicated his medal to them. Shortly before that ceremony today, a surprise appearance in the Oval Office when cameras entered to reveal none other than Rocky himself, Sylvester Stallone, standing alongside the president for the culmination of a cause near and dear to his heart, righting a wrong done so many years ago to an American champion. NBC's Ron Mott explains.
He was a man who struck fear in other powerful men, big and strong, flamboyant and cocky. But his affection for white women was a fight even Jack Johnson, the nation's first black heavyweight champion, couldn't win. Not in early 20th century America.
Jack Johnson was a source of great pride to the African-American community for defying and standing up to systemic and institutional racism.
In 1912, Johnson was arrested for violating something called the Mann Act, a 1910 federal law aimed at criminalizing the transport of any woman or girl for the purpose of prostitution or debauchery. He was convicted a year later, still reigning champion, then sentenced to a year in prison, fleeing the country before returning to serve his time.
He was pretty much unbeatable.
Today, President Trump, flanked by former champ Lennox Lewis and boxing superfan actor Sylvester Stallone, issued a pardon. The president hinted at this potential forgiveness weeks ago, tweeting, "Sylvester Stallone called me with the story of Jack Johnson. His trials and tribulations were great."
Jack Johnson's a great inspiration to me, especially throughout my whole career.
Johnson died in the 1940s, his reputation sullied by interracial romances and a prison stint. His legacy and criminal record given an official chance now to get up off the canvas at long last. Ron Mott, NBC News.
Still ahead tonight, deadly impact as millions get ready to hit the road this holiday weekend. How the type of vehicle you drive could be linked to skyrocketing pedestrian deaths. Also, worried about what your Amazon Echo is overhearing? Now your worst fears about Alexa came true for one American family. We're back now with a growing danger on the road. An alarming number of pedestrians struck and killed by SUVs, many in urban and suburban areas, and many of the incidents happening in the dark. NBC's Katie Beck reports on what's behind the rise and what one city is doing to combat it.
For Eric Bauerreis, pedestrian safety is personal.
Do you think Americans as a whole consider this to be a pressing issue?
No.
His 14-year-old son, Alexei, was killed walking his bike through a crosswalk at night in 2016.
And I think I'm just now past the point where I'm not in tears daily.
Pedestrian fatalities are skyrocketing, up 46% since 2009. A new report by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety found accidents involving SUVs increased by 81% over an eight-year period, stating SUVs can be especially deadly to pedestrians because they're heavier and higher.
This is a problem that's affecting everybody.
Joel Meyer is the pedestrian coordinator for the city of Austin, Texas, a walkable city with fast growth.
We're well aware that this is a problem that, our community wants to see fixed.
Research shows more fatalities happen when pedestrians are jaywalking or crossing at night. Bauerreis hopes the new information will make people pay attention.
I don't want other people to have the trauma and the stress and the tears associated with it that we've had.
Reminding us that a simple crossing could be a dangerous decision. Katie Beck, NBC News, Austin, Texas.
And coming up here tonight, the home run that wasn't one of the craziest things you'll see on a baseball field this season. A school bus driver has been charged with vehicular homicide after a crash that killed a middle school student and a teacher on a school trip in New Jersey last week. Authorities say the 77-year-old driver attempted to make an illegal U-turn, disregarding the no U-turn sign when the bus was hit by a dump truck. If you have an Amazon Echo, this might be your worst nightmare. A family in Portland, Oregon says their Echo recorded a private conversation that sent it to a random contact. In a statement, Amazon says the Echo misheard the conversation and mistakenly interpreted some words as a series of commands to record and send. The company says it's evaluating options to make mishaps like this less likely. And it was going, but not quite gone at yesterday's Twins-Tigers game. The Twins' Brian Dozier belting one to center field that looked like it had the distance until it didn't, landing smack into the seam of the outfield wall. Instead of a homer, Dozier had to settle for a ground rule double. Sign up that wall. When we come back, may the force be with them. The family that lives and breathes Star Wars as an all-new chapter hits theaters. Finally, in our spotlight tonight, Solo, the newest installment of the Star Wars franchise, premieres in theaters nationwide. And you would be hard-pressed to find a family more excited than the Powells in Northern California. Their devotion to all things Star Wars spans generations, as well as a big part of their neighborhood.
Get ready.
We're used to seeing the Millennium Falcon in a galaxy far, far away. Not, however, in a suburban neighborhood. But the Powells aren't an ordinary family. This San Francisco Bay Area clan is out of this world for Star Wars.
I can't really think of another movie or event that has transcended generations like Star Wars has.
Well, I've seen every movie like about 10 times or something.
I've seen the films too many to count.
Their home, a virtual Jedi temple of lightsabers, toys, and posters. But a few Halloweens back, they took fandom into hyperdrive.
Somebody came up with the idea of building a Death Star, but we couldn't just build a little Death Star. We had to build a great big one.
And a new empire was born. Like any good saga, it cried out for a sequel.
Everyone wanted to know what the next project would be, and I was, oh, here we go again.
With Solo coming out, the choice was obvious.
Fastest hunk of junk in the universe, that's right.
Friends and family pitched in to bring Han Solo's ship to life. They brought in a crane to make it fly.
It's going to be something that we look back on and have great memories about.
All I got to do is give them the signal, you're surrounded.
I was 5 as a fan when the original Star Wars movie came out. I've got a 7-year-old who can't wait to go see the new movie. So that's pretty exciting.
And there is no force in the universe that can change tonight's plan.
Solo.
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 I guess we're going to go see Solo. Sorry.
They should give him walk-on parts in the next film. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Thursday. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.